Albert Carr was the chairman of the Joint Shropshire's Committee before me. When he retired, I was elected into that position. That was in 75, because I was about 3 years there. And he was 65, so he retired, and I was elected that. And then that's when we started on the first thing was the pay, where we were negotiating a pay claim, which was a local pay claim over and above the national, and we weren't getting anywhere. So instead of going through the national or calling an all-out strike, whichever we would lose money, we decided that we would have what's called guerrilla tactics. First of all, we said, Filton House, you know, the ones that's now covered, we just sent round to all the shop stewards and told them at a certain time of the day, while we were in negotiations with the company, tell them all to go and just to walk into the whole of the company, to go into Filton House and just walk in there. Don't do any damage, don't do anything else, just walk in there and just take over the building. And of course we were sat talking to the management. We made sure that we were sat with our backs to the window, and the managers were sat at the window, and you could see this stream of people, you could see their eyes going, following this stream of people going where are they going? And then they started getting telephone calls, didn't they, from Filton House. So anyway, when we got them all out from there, we hadn't got any settlement. So after a couple of days, we decided that we'd get the the work started at 7:30. Staff didn't start till 8:30. So we organised it. So the whole of the workforce shut the gates off from the inside, so none of the staff could get into work. And we kept all the staff out for about half a day, and then we let them in after lunch, and then we left it for a few days and we weren't getting anywhere, so we did it again. But this time they came back at lunchtime expecting to get in. We decided, no, we'd keep it on all day, and kept on. And that went on for about a week, and after a week we got called in and we got a settlement. So it was guerrilla. It was what we call guerrilla tactics, and it worked very well. In actual fact, it was on the traffic news and everything, because as soon as ever the staff couldn't get in, I mean, because they couldn't drive the cars in or anything, everything was beginning to build up, and the whole of the Gloucester Road and all down Filton Avenue, all down Southmead Road, were just jammed, and it just came. It just gridlocked everything around there. So I've got some cuttings of it somewhere, but I can't find them, unfortunately. I wish, if I do find them, I'll have to send them on to you, but I've got some cuttings of that. So that was quite interesting.
And were most of the workers supportive of any action?
Oh, it was 100%. It was 100%. They were 100% behind it. And if you find any of the old ones, still talk about it. Because it didn't work after Maggie Thatcher got in and clamped down on the unions. It doesn't work now, because you can't have unofficial strike, because that was unofficial strikes. Now any unofficial strike now, they can chuck you in jail for, can't they? So I mean, it was a bit of a luxury in those days that we could do those sort of things. But it worked all right, so it worked for us at that occasion. Then not long after that, we had the because we're, you know, doing Concord, and the Labour Party got elected 75, wasn't it? 75 they got elected, that was right. And we got a hint from Tony Benn that the Cabinet were talking about scrapping Concord. He tipped us off. So we called a meeting of all the workers in BAC and in Rolls Royce on the airfield, and the company actually helped us on that. They made, you know, that was all work, all staff, everybody on the airfield. There must have been about 25,000 people there on that airfield, And to make sure we could hear, the company set up the PA system for us and got what's called a giraffe, you know, these hydraulic lift things that we used to go up on the to the tailplanes of the aeroplane on. And John Blackley, who was the convener at Rolls-Royce and myself, got on this one and he took us up in the air there with a microphone so we could address the whole of these 25,000 people. I was nervous about being up there more than talking to the people swaying about at the top of there. There's only two of us on there, fortunately. So they only lost two of us if it collapsed. But, we decided there that we'd ask them if they would lobby Downing Street or lobby the government on to get Concorde not scrapped, and make sure it wasn't scrapped. And they said yes, everybody wanted to go. So, you know, we said we'll try and organise some coaches. So John Blackley and myself went back to my office in the in BAC, because I had a little office there, only small little place. I mean, it was about, well, one the size of my dining room, a broom, like a broom cupboard, but I had a telephone and everything. So we went back. That was after they'd all gone back to work after we had the meeting, and we started ringing round coach firms, and we were there till 10 o'clock at night, still ringing round trying to get coaches available. And they all, I think there's about 20 odd coaches in the end, which hold about 50 people each, don't they? About 52 seaters. And we got all these coaches, all turn up 7:30 in the morning on Gypsy Patch, loaded all the, I mean, there's John and me dashing around. I nearly missed the last coach trying to get everybody on there. And we took them up to Wallacott. And of course, when we got up to London, they said, "You're not going anywhere near Downing Street." The police had a tip-off that they told us to ring them. So we rang them, and they said, "No, you can't go, but you can have a march if you want. You can have a march." So, and they gave us a route, and we marched everybody around just to show them the support for Concorde. And then John, myself, and a couple of other stewards went in to meet the cabinet. That was Harold Wilson and Tony Benn, and the company had helped us there as well. We'd produced a document on all the facts and figures, costings and everything. The company helped us tremendously on it. They were supporting us, and they had it all printed off, and we had loads of copies printed, and we brought enough for the cabinet there with us, and we gave them to the in there to, so they could have a read before we went in for the meeting. When we got in, all these documents were stamped strictly confidential. We'd been producing them, giving them to everybody, pressing everybody, and they read them and stamped them strictly confidential. So, but we argued our case there, and as you know, I mean, Concorde was completed and flew.